Good afternoon, everybody. Tampa Bay and around the globe. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, global ministry, but based in Clearwater, Florida. We are very glad that you have joined us today, or some of you may be listening to this on our website at a later date. So I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am glad to have you with us. It's a beautiful day in Clearwater, isn't it, Cedric? I mean, look at this. I mean, we finally got rid of the dreariness and the clouds and the rain.
I'm kind of surprised. I didn't really look at the weather, but last night it went down to like, I guess, upper 40s. It was like 48 or 49
It was cold.
Something.
Yes. Yeah. Last night.
And now it's too hot.
Yeah, it's like, what, mid-70s or something, yeah. Probably. Yeah, it's just great.
We got it right here.
You're going to tell us right there.
I have to refresh.
All right. But yeah, it's a lot nicer. Sun is shining, blue sky, not a cloud in the sky. Just ready for the time for the spring breakers to all hit here soon.
It says 71, but okay. it feels a little warmer.
Feels warmer than that, yeah. So it's a beautiful day in Clearwater. I hope it is where you are. I know a lot of people are suffering from the cold, the snow, and all of that. My kids, I've got two, my son and his family, and my daughter and her family in Indiana. And they were stuck this weekend again in snowdrifts. And, I mean, just terrible stuff. I mean, they have just had nothing but the worst winter they can ever remember.
It's not fun anymore.
It's not fun. No. And, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, it really is for them to get around and everything. And so we feel sorry for all those people up there and hope that old man winter is about ready to clear out. But I think that groundhog a couple weeks ago saw his shadow, which means... six more weeks of winter.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah, good old Punxsutawney Phil. I don't know how that ever got started. But anyway, we see sunshine and we see warm weather down here. So some of you may want to plan a trip our way because it's really, really nice. So Brother Nathan, are you on the air with us?
Yes, I am.
There you are. Nathan is our... music worship leader at Beacon of Hope here in Clearwater, and you've been with me for a long time in ministry, and I am grateful for you, my friend. You are a wonderful, wonderful friend and asset to the ministry that God has called us to do together, and we do it together, don't we, Nathan?
Yes, we do, and I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's fun, isn't it? And singing the worship today was just amazing, and it's just crazy. I mean, people aren't there with us when we're warming up on Sunday morning, but we just feel the presence of the Lord so strongly, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
And today was not an exception. It was a wonderful service and a wonderful time in the Lord. If you are not in our area, if you visit, please look us up and come to service. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our Sunday morning service at 10:30. Every single Sunday in our new location, 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater. We're basically at the corner of Drew and 19 behind the Toyota dealership. And, you know, Nathan, I said this morning, I just never cease to be amazed at the beautiful facility that God has given us and how blessed we are with it now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Amen. Amen.
So, very functional.
Functional, yes. Bible study on Wednesday nights. Tell them what happens on Wednesday night for those who might be listening.
Oh, well, we get into the Word.
Yes.
And we have discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group participation thing, which is always fun, because to hear everyone's different ideas
right.
about what the Word is saying and what it says to them, it's
right.
just always enlightening.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And it's fun, just that interaction. And we started a new series this morning. Be Healed is the name of it, isn't it?
Yes.
So we're going to have some pretty exciting talking on Wednesday night, because there's a lot of debate around healing. A lot of people don't realize that Jesus really is the healer and what that means for their life and their body and their mind and emotions. It's more than our physical bodies, isn't it, Nathan?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Every aspect of our lives.
Right. Yeah. Because we've all had life experiences. Of course, you being older than me. Joke. You've had more life experiences than I've had. But no, I'm teasing with that. But, you know, we've all had a lifetime of things that have happened to us. Some good, some bad, some painful, some wonderful, you know. And sometimes healing needs to happen over some of those old things, don't you think, brother?
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah. And that's what Beacon of Hope is all about, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's been our motto since 2001 when we began. Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. You want to comment on that, Nathan?
Well, it's brought a lot of healing and restoration to my life.
Amen. Amen.
And I believe that, I mean, because the Word does that.
Yes, yes.
The more the Word you get into you, the more healing you get into you, the more, I mean, it's just wonderful.
And it is all about the Word of God. I mean, you know, a lot of people probably have grown up in church situations where they really weren't taught the Word of God very much, but that's what we are all about, is it not?
Amen.
Amen. John 1 says that the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. The Father had the plan from way back before creation to send his Son Jesus to this earth. And we commemorated that today with the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus with communion. And it's always a beautiful time to do that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So it's all about Jesus, isn't it? Go ahead.
Time to reflect.
Yes, time to reflect. Yes. Amen. We are going to start off the show, Nathan, with a song by Mike's Chair. This is a group that's very interesting. A lot of us in the Tampa Bay area and probably other areas have on, I have Bright House, so you have those channels of music, you know, that you have all the, like the different, you know, I'm talking about, Cedric?
Music Choice.
Music Choice, yeah. That's the name of it. And so there's one that's contemporary Christian music. And, you know, what they do is they do little blurbs about the group.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting to know about these different groups. Mike's Chair is a group of like four guys. And it has to do with the fact that they were living close together. I don't know if you know this, in an apartment complex, but they didn't have enough chairs in this one place where they started practicing and getting together, forming a band. And so Mike always had to bring his chair from his place. That I wondered where that came from, and that is true. I read it that it had to do with that. So Mike had to bring his chair to practice. So there you go. That's the name of their group. Mike's Chair, because I think that's an odd name for a group. But this song is Hallelujah.
Change, you bring my soul alive.
Love that song. You have saved my life, set my heart on fire. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that true, Nathan? He saved our lives and set our hearts on fire. That's what's going on, isn't it, in the ministry and what's going on in our individual lives. He really is setting our hearts on fire for him. Are you there, Nathan?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I couldn't hear you. All right. I mean, did you hear what I said? I mean, he set our hearts on fire for him. And there is a new excitement in the air because God is doing something good in us. I mean, amazing. Amazing. So, Betty, are you on with us too already?
Yes. Good afternoon.
All right. And Nathan's on too, Betty.
Hey, Nathan. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing wonderful, dear. How are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
Did your kids get back okay from Hawaii?
Yes, they did, and I got their car stuck in the driveway.
Oh, good. Snowbam.
They're digging it out as we speak, so that's why I'm getting on a little bit late.
All right. So, but they've spent the week, Megan and her husband Ben, in Hawaii, and so to come back to the weather you're having up there in Indiana has got to be a rude shock.
Oh, well, exactly. I know. I watched them come down the driveway, and we had probably another inch and a half of snow last night on top of the already 13 that we had. so it's like I call this the polar vortex.
The polar vortex, huh?
We are the polar vortex.
Well, you sure have it. I tell you. You guys can keep it, too. We don't want it down here.
That's right.
Well, I would be glad to send you a snowball.
No. That's okay. You know, okay. Go ahead, try it. But good luck with that. But that song by Mike's Chair, I love that, Betty. You've set my heart on fire. You've saved my life. Can't we all say amen to that?
Amen. You got that right.
There's a new atmosphere, I guess, in the spirit. There is a shift that's going on, and people are getting more and more excited about what God's doing around the earth, but in their individual lives. Do you know what I'm talking about, Betty?
Yeah, I sure do, because I think it's starting now, and people are beginning to see things that they've never seen before, but this is only just a beginning of the tip of the iceberg of what God wants to do in our lives.
Oh, amen. And he wants us to be on board with what he's doing. I think there's a lot of people that just go through life, and if you ask them, yes, I'm a Christian, but what is going on the inside of you, you know? I mean, is God doing a new work? Is God changing you? Is God causing you to come alive when you read the Word of God? Nathan, talk to me about that, because it's the Word that changes us, isn't it? Ugh.
It is the Word. I mean, you wonder what God wants to do.
Whoa, lost him. Don't know where he went. Betty, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll get Nathan back somewhere. Don't know where he is. Maybe he'll call. We just lost his line altogether?
Yes. Yeah. He dropped off.
Okay. All right. Betty, go ahead and talk about that while we try to find Nathan.
I think that once we totally decide that our control is out of control, and his control is where we need to be.
Right.
It's that total surrender.
Amen.
Total sellout, where we get down and say, okay, God, I can't do this anymore by myself.
Right.
It's just between you and I. I need your help. And I think that's what kicks the Holy Spirit into motion, is that he wants to hear our words. He wants our words to come from the heart.
Right.
He wants us to speak truth and not be a fly-by-night Christian where we only need him at times that we think we need him.
Exactly.
We actually need him every minute, every second of every day.
Exactly. I think we have Nathan back now. Right, Nathan?
Yeah, what happened?
Don't know. You were just gone. This is a perfect segue into Matthew chapter 10, starting with about verse 38 in the Message Bible. Here's what Jesus says. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Nathan, talk to me about that. Jesus is quite frank here. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement. That if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never even find yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact of the matter is, he made us.
Right.
So therefore, he knows all about us, and he knows who we are and what we are.
Right.
And in order for us to know what he knows, we have to look for him, look to him.
Right. Absolutely. And when we get so self-absorbed, I mean, that's when we're headed for trouble. I mean, I love what he says. If you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so this is a shift in attitude and focus. Betty, talk to me about this. This is really, really drastic stuff that Jesus says here in Matthew 10, 38 and 39.
Well, I think that in reading this, it's a total commitment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary for us because, to kind of piggyback what Nathan said, is that he knows us inside and out.
Oh, amen.
And he knows what we're doing. He knows our next step even before we take that next step.
Right.
And to pick up the cross, which means a total commitment. He wants all of us, not just part of us.
Yeah, he does. Why does he want that?
Again, it's a total sellout.
Yeah.
It's total dependence on our Heavenly Father, where we can't do it on our own. I think that we have tried, you know, down through my many years, I've tried doing it on my own.
Right.
And, boy, I mess up. Sometimes I can just mess up pretty bad, and I think, you know, I
yes,
think
you
got
can,
to,
Betty. I noticed that, too.
I mean, I have to depend on him because the road that I walk down can have some pretty troublesome times.
Right.
Doesn't mean that even when we walk with him that we're not going to have a few trials and tribulations. It makes us totally dependent on him.
Well, when we are so self-absorbed, and I think that's is what Jesus is talking about, when we are not taking time to seek him, to get in the word, to learn what God is saying to us, to allow God to change us, when we are so self-absorbed that all we care about is making the next dollar or making the next friend or buying the new gadget or whatever the case may be, it never really changes us. That stuff is temporary. Nathan, talk to me about that, because, I mean, I see this everywhere with people. Don't you? They're just self-absorbed. They're just driven for more of whatever.
And they wear themselves out. I mean,
right.
I think that is that is where burnout comes from.
Good point. Good point.
People don't talk about they get burned out is because they're relying on their own resources.
Yes. Yes.
And they see themselves as their own resource. And then we'll really look to God, you know, look to Jesus as the fire. And when they see themselves as their own resource, they're reaching and grabbing for everything they can.
Boy, that's a good point. And, you know, you can be, if you are putting God first in your life and not just focusing on getting and all of this, then he gives you strength even though you're going through difficult times. Betty, talk to me about this.
Well, he is, he's the electrical current that supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen, amen.
And when we plug into that electrical outlet or that electrical source, it has no outages. There is no loss of power.
Whoa.
Because that power comes to us.
Woo.
When we seek him and seek him only. When we drop the idols that we so call the things that we think we need in our life, such
right.
as a fancy car or a big house or 342 animals or whatever.
Talking to yourself there, Beth?
Yes, I am. I'm preaching to myself here.
All right, good. All right.
But it all boils down to is that we need less of us and more of him.
Amen. And the world, people in our lives that don't understand this concept think we're just crazy. when we have to have that quality time with the Lord, when we have to take time to get to church and worship and learn, people around us that don't have those priorities, they think we're just nuts, Nathan. They really do. They just think, well, what's going wrong with them, you know?
Oh, yeah. We really are nuts for the Lord.
Yes, we are. But we need it. I need the Word. I need to be in the fellowship and worshiping God with other people of like heart and like mind, you know?
So do I. So do I.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, we're not of the world, so the world doesn't understand us.
That's right.
You know?
That's exactly right.
If the world rejected Christ, and think about that. You know, Jesus Christ was here doing good, healing
right.
people, and delivering people and stuff, and yet he was rejected.
Right.
He was ultimately rejected, and he was doing good.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Isn't it? And it's like, you know, and if we are to be like Jesus, then why should we expect anything less?
Oh, right.
To be rejected.
Well, which brings us to verse 40 of Matthew 10, if you're just now joining us on Living the Good Life. Jesus says these words in Matthew 10:40, "We are intimately linked in this harvest work. Anyone who accepts what you do accepts me, the one who sent you." I find that fascinating. We are on the same team as the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. And there is a work that needs to get done in this earth before we go to meet Jesus. Betty, talk to me about this. We are on the same team with the Godhead.
Well, we're an extension of the Lord's hand.
Amen.
And we have to reach out to people, even though they may rebuke us at first. We get a prime opportunity to plant a seed.
Amen.
And in God's kingdom, when you plant that seed, it can be watered, it can be nourished, it can be fertilized to the point where that blossoms into a new soul for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we have to take our walk with Christ more seriously than we have in the past.
Amen.
We can't be fence walkers. We can't be iffy here. We have to let our yeses be yeses and our noes be noes. And if there's someone that has rebuked you in the past, it's most likely is because you've hit a nerve.
Right.
And you've said something to them that it's like a light bulb comes on. And they're thinking, wonder what they're talking about. But even if we just, even with the words that we speak, they're also looking at us, Pastor and Nathan, with our actions.
Amen, they are. Yes.
If you say you're a blood-bought Christian and you're out drinking and carousing and doing stuff like this, and then you come back and say, hey, I'm a born-again Christian, well, you sure don't have Christ-like actions.
Well, our beliefs have to translate into our behavior.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
To.
Yeah.
And so Christ is, you know, if Christ be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
So that's why we all want to be on the same team. We are all on Christ's team. And Christ's team, in the end, people, we win.
Amen.
But to get to that final inning, we've got a lot of work to do, friend. You got a lot of work to do.
We got a lot of work to do, and we got to take it seriously, and we do. And I love what Jesus says here, that we're intimately linked in this harvest work. It's not just him. It's us also being that mouthpiece, doing this radio show for now 7 years, getting the word out as best we can, providing a experience of worship and Bible study for people, doing what we can in our little corner of humanity. And Jesus says, anyone who accepts what I do accepts my Father who sent me. Accepting a messenger of God is as good as being God's messenger. I find that very interesting. There are some people who maybe never will be in the ministry, but if they are respecting the ministry gifts that they sit under, the pastoral ministry, the evangelist, etc., if they do that, It's they're getting in on those blessings. Talk to me about that, Nathan. Oh, I love that.
Well, anyone that accepts a messenger,
yeah,
you know, that accepts means you support.
Right.
that you're supporting and, you know, you're involved in whatever. And if you're involved in the messenger's teaching or preaching, then you receive, you know, the messenger's, or you receive the messenger's reward.
Right.
You know, you're as good as giving, you know, God says that is good as being God's messenger.
It's that's an amazing statement, don't you think?
Yes, it is. Yes,
because being in the... Go ahead, Nathan.
Some people are not gifted to be the messenger.
Right, they're not. Right.
You know, but they are gifted to support the messenger.
That's exactly right. And think how important that role is. That's what Jesus is saying.
Yes.
Find your place in the body of Christ and do it with all your heart. Yes. Betty, talk to us. Sure. Talk to us about this.
Well, that's what happened several... many, many, many years ago, is that, you know, sitting in a pew thinking that what I did was, you know, coming to church and worshiping him was enough.
Right.
Well, come to find out that, you know, years passed that I'd like for you to teach the little ones. And it's like, what? Me? You have got to be kidding me.
And I kind of remember
said,
that.
And he said, no, I wouldn't kid about something like this because... the little ones are our future.
Right.
And who better to teach them than you?
Right.
And I thought, whoa, you know, that was a pretty bold statement for
right.
someone who, you know, didn't think that, you know, my esteem was just very low at that point in time. But as I was able to teach and and bless, I became blessed.
Ooh, yes.
In the long run, because I was able to share God's word. I was able to see the Lord heal little people.
Right.
The little people then from there went out to their parents and told
right.
them what a blessing they had.
Right.
And a lot of those parents wanted to come back into the children's ministry and see what we were doing because
right.
they couldn't believe that, you know, their child was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I mean, if you bless people, it blesses your socks off, but can you imagine what it does for the Lord?
Oh.
Oh, it just, I mean, angels sing and, you know, and they rejoice anytime that, you know, it's hark in the angels, you know, I mean, they're just rejoicing because in your heart, you know that you've done something, and you've done something very well.
Well, and you did, and you were a part of the church that I pastored in Indiana. That's where I first met you. Whoa, how many years ago? Back in...
Before dirt.
Yeah, late 80s. Yeah, a long time ago. Your daughter Megan and my children were all in the children's ministry and the youth, and clear back then. And what you're saying, really, I love the way Jesus puts this in verse 40. We are intimately linked in this harvest work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of people running around, and maybe some of them listening to this broadcast today, that have talents, abilities, they have a call of God on their life to do something in the kingdom of God. They don't know what that is, but they got to get plugged in. You know, a lamp that's sitting on a table... looking all pretty. I've got one of those on a desk in my living room that sometimes, I don't know how it gets unplugged, but it does. And when it's just sitting there looking pretty, it sheds no light whatsoever in the room, right? It doesn't help the dark room. But when I bother to go over and plug it in, oh my, it's so nice. It just brightens up the room. And we got to get plugged in, Nathan,
right.
Betty. We got to get plugged in. Talk
and,
to me.
Right.
Nathan, talk to me about this, then we'll go to Betty.
Got to be plugged into the power.
We got to be.
Well, Jesus told his disciples, when he went, one of the last things he said to them when he was ascending was to tarry until the Holy Spirit came.
Yes.
And they received power.
Woo!
And you know, that power, you got to be plugged into that power.
You got to be.
You know, in other words, to fulfill your destiny in the Lord.
Right.
Be plugged into the power of the Holy Ghost.
Absolutely. And when you are, your life changes, and it changes for the better. Betty, talk to me about that.
Well, to maybe put it so that I understand it.
So you understand, okay.
No, I understand it. And if I understand it, I know y'all can understand it.
Nathan, are you still there, by the way? We just heard another pop.
Yeah, his line just dropped.
Okay, we don't know what's happening there. Maybe he'll call back. Go ahead, Betty.
is that it's like going from a dark room where you don't know where anything is at. You don't know where you're standing.
Right.
You don't know if you're going to run into anything. And when you do, it hurts. And that's where we talk about being in the dark and going into the light, is that it brings a different nuance to your life. I mean, it's like seeing if you've ever seen a fluorescent bulb, how it comes on, and sometimes it shakes and it shimmies and stuff. But when that light is in full bloom or in full power, it sheds off the most horrific light that you've ever seen.
Right.
And it lets you walk in victory. It lets you talk in victory. It lets you reach out to people that you've never reached out before, because you can't see anything when you're in the dark. You can't reach out and touch someone because you'll probably end up either running over them, you know, scaring them to death. But when that light comes on, you think, oh, I mean, it's just like, it's like a light bulb comes on and you think, wow, where have I been?
Exactly.
I have lived in this darkness so long.
Yes.
I've walked in misery.
Right.
I've walked in discord. I've needed healing and not received it.
Right.
I've done this and this and that. And then when you walk in the light, it's like the depression's gone. The oppression is gone. And you just see things totally different.
Exactly.
When you're in the light.
Well, it's just like what happened to me this past Monday morning, right, Nathan? Are you there, Nathan?
I'm here.
Okay, there you go. It's like happened to me last Monday morning, just getting up in the dark, take my dogs out, and did not turn a light on. This is a perfect metaphor. And on my hardwood floor, stepped on pee that I didn't know was there from little dogs from the night before, evidently. And fell and really got hurt badly. And that's what happens when the light is not on our lives and we are not watching where we're going. I mean, had I seen that, I would certainly not have stepped in it, right? And gone down on the hardwood floor and got hurt so bad, I would have avoided it, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a metaphor or what you're talking about, Betty. I mean, I'm still hurting from it right now, but still. I mean, this is metaphorically, this is what we all do in our lives. We just grope around in the dark. We just, oh, I'll be okay. I'll just keep on going without any light on my path. Nathan, talk to us about this.
Well, when you walk in the light, you see it from God's perspective.
Yes, yes.
And when we see things from God's perspective, there's more peace.
Amen. Yeah.
And there's more quality to life, too.
Right. There is.
Because you're not frustrated, you're not running around in the dark trying to figure out what to do. You see things as he sees them.
Amen.
You know, and that's a wonderful thing.
It is. And a lot of times we're able to avoid pitfalls, you know?
That's a wonderful way to avoid pitfalls.
Right.
But, you know, you see it from the position where we're seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen. It's how we see things. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
But we can only see it when we're walking in the light.
That's it. It's our perception. And Betty, talk to us about this, because I think that's all a really good way to see this, what's going on in our lives.
It's like I've not had them, but I talk to people who have had cataracts removed.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you knew you had vision at the beginning of your life, but then as time goes on, things start to get darker, and it starts to get just a little bit blurry. But when God removes something out of your life,
ooh, girl,
you can see more clearly.
Amen.
And that the light can shine through, and there's more brilliance. There's more. There's better hue quality. It's almost like a black and white picture versus a colored picture.
Ooh. Yeah.
With the type of cameras that they have today, with the pixels that are so clear and so bright.
Love it.
That God's eyes and God's light shines just like that high-quality pixel camera, so that you can see. When you look through that lens, it's like, whoa, this is
exactly
awesome. I have never seen, I mean, things open up to you that you've never been able to see before.
Woo! oh, amen, and you open the Bible, and you're just kind of sitting there, what should I read? And something jumps out at you, and God speaks to your heart, and you would never have had that happen maybe in the times past before the cataracts were removed from your spiritual eyes, right?
That's right. That's right.
Woo! Nathan, talk to us about this.
Well, I think that the cataracts are removed gradually.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we were to see everything that God wanted us to see all at once, it would overwhelm us.
Yeah, true.
So I think that he's a gentle surgeon, and he removes just enough that we can take.
Hmm.
So that we can see we have a little, I mean, he takes us deeper and deeper into his knowledge.
Right.
Deeper and deeper into his word. Deeper and deeper into the Christian life.
Amen.
Deeper and deeper into the walk with him.
Right.
But I mean, if he demanded of us the kind of walk, I mean, so that I have the walk that I have with him today is not the same as it was when I first met him.
Okay, I agree with that. Why do you say that?
Because I'm grown.
Amen.
And it gives, and I could read the same scripture over and over again and get a different insight from the
yes.
same scripture.
Yes.
And that's because of the growth that he's put inside of me. And, you know, it gives me more insight and understanding and a level upon level upon level upon level.
Well, this goes along with these verses here in the Message Bible. Jesus said, this is a large work I've called you into. That's this harvest work. But don't be overwhelmed by it. It's best to start small.
Yeah.
Give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. You won't lose out on the thing. Betty, what is he talking about here? I mean, this really does apply to all of us, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And if you think it doesn't, we're here to tell you the truth.
Okay.
it's because if you do something, you may not see your reward here, but you will receive your reward in heaven.
Amen.
And one of the coolest things about God is that he gives us the choice. And his love is unconditional.
Amen.
So it's like when we transfer that, like a transference of being a baby Christian, walking in the taking baby steps, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's time. It's like, okay, I don't want any more milk. I need some meat.
Right.
And that's when he gives us the opportunity to be disciples and to do unto others as they would have us do unto them. And we have to be able to be submissive.
Right.
And have a listening ear. Be able to discern what's going on around us. Because God is so generous. He's so loving. He's so kind. And his Holy Spirit, when we're totally tuned in, when we've got the FM or AM dial is turned to a channel that really comes in plain and clear, that's when we can hear him the most. And
oh,
that's
amen.
When we're free of sin, and that we say that we read the word and we really do it, because that's where we get our nutrition, that's where we get
right.
our power.
Amen.
Is in that word of God.
Woo.
And it is so important to, especially now until the time that Christ comes back, stay in that word. Get that word so deeply embedded into your heart that nothing can tear it out.
Amen.
And that every day you want to read that word. You don't want to read it. I mean, yeah, it's good to read the newspaper, don't get me
sure.
wrong, or it's good to listen to this. Get into God's word and
Amen.
Stay there.
Amen.
And watch yourself grow more than you've ever grown before just by listening to his word.
Amen.
Abiding in his love.
And then he's going to start giving you little tasks. I love this, where he says, you know, it's best to start small. Give a cool cup of water to someone who's thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice. Nathan, talk to me about that before we go to this next song. Just starting small.
Yeah, well, a person who gives someone a drink of cool water who's thirsty will not lose their reward.
Right.
The word tells.
Right.
But, you know, and I think back on when I was a baby Christian, and I think back on some of the things that I did, some of the things that I said, you know, how I approached people and stuff. They probably should have put me in a rubber room for a couple of months.
Right.
A couple of years to spare people from my onslaughts.
Your enthusiasm for God, right?
Enthusiastic. Yes, I was very enthusiastic. And, you know, I probably turned off as many people as I turned on to Christ.
Yeah.
But, you know, God, I won't lose my reward for that.
Right.
Because God looked at my heart, and he knew what my heart was.
Exactly.
Mm,
exactly. And so we start somewhere, and we let God lead us. And I tell you, it helps so much if you're a part of a body of believers. Let's go to this song by Mercy Me, The Hurt and the Healer, and then we'll talk more about this. Praise God. there's those times that we are hurt and beat up emotionally, physically, financially, whatever it is, and we're hurt, you know, but then the healer comes in. Oh, Nathan, don't you love that? The healer comes on the scene and begins to restore us back to himself. Maybe some of our listeners perhaps have been running from God for a long time instead of running to him, and he just wants to restore us to that fellowship, you know?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
You know, there's times it seems like that the hurt overpowers us. It overwhelms us, Betty. You know, those times where, you know, that if somebody just offers us a cool cup of water, that would be great. You know, we just, that's where these small things are so important that Jesus is talking about.
Oh, yeah, because we get so parched.
Right. We get beat up. We get beat up, don't you think? Life does that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, life has a tendency to kind of squeeze the life right out of you.
Right.
And that song says, take my heart.
Yes.
And breathe it back to life.
Woo, yeah.
And people, I think, Pastor and Nathan, that people sometimes are afraid of God.
Oh, yeah.
Because
good point.
Maybe of what they've done in their life, maybe they haven't been as upright as they think they have to be to be able to come and seek him. But they have to remember that he died on that cross for our healing.
Amen.
And that healing can be emotionally.
Yes.
Physically, spiritually.
Amen.
That he took all of that on that cross for us.
Amen.
And that we don't have to worry that he's mad at us, that he's going to cast judgment on us because of this is what we've done. All we have to do is just mention the name of Jesus and say, Father, I am sorry.
Right.
And he takes us, and still to this day, this brings tears to my eyes, is to see someone at an altar or someone who has been so badly hurt.
Right.
Maybe by other people, for instance, that word forgiveness can become so hard to say.
Yes.
But yet it's so freeing once they do it.
Amen. Amen.
And that healer comes on the scene as soon as we mention his name, Nathan, as soon as we mention the name of Jesus.
Right.
He is almost like, he's like the Jimmy, and I hate to use this as an example, but he's like the Jimmy John's guy. He is there so fast that
they are quick, those sandwich guys.
They are. They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
but that's how quick God can respond.
Ooh, quicker than Jimmy John's. All right.
Yeah. He's faster than Jimmy John's.
Oh, and
that's the neat part about it is that say, how can you reference Jesus to Jimmy John's? The reason why I say that is because people make so many references to earthly examples of how fast things can happen.
Right.
But Jesus's can be much faster.
Ugh.
He's much more of a healer than anything that we can imagine or see or imagine.
You know, you're exactly right about that, Betty. And so often we stay in our problem. We stay in our mess. Because we don't see a way out. But that's where God comes in. We're not supposed to see the way out. We are supposed to submit to him and let him really change our circumstances and bring new life into our mess. You know what I'm saying, Nathan? I mean, we so often stay in a rut and don't even try to reach out to God because we're just so overwhelmed by our circumstances. I think this is for somebody out there today. Somebody's feeling so completely overwhelmed by the situation they are in that they don't see a way out. And God says, I don't want you to try to figure out a way out. I want to give you that wisdom. I want to open the doors. I want to meet every need that you have. That is for someone today. Nathan, talk to me.
Yes, it is. Well, some people, you know, growing up in church, I was taught that God puts sickness on people.
Right.
and that God brought hurtful situations into people's lives.
We're going to defeat those myths, aren't we, with this new series, Be Healed?
We are.
Yeah.
God doesn't have cancer in heaven.
No.
He doesn't have divorce or separation from a loved one in heaven. He doesn't have any of those things that we go through in life that causes hurt or pain. God doesn't have those.
Those come from human behavior, you know? Human behavior. Go ahead.
Exactly. But, I mean, he's a healer.
Amen. He's the healer. Yes.
He looks at our situation and he sees we're hurting and he wants to heal us.
Woo.
It's his will that we be healed.
It is his will that we be healed. Amen.
It is his will that we be healed.
We're going to.
Sometimes we don't see that, so we don't get it.
Right. Instead, if we have the mentality, I'm glad you brought this up because we're going to go on into this in this next hour. Because if we have the mentality that we are being punished for a past mistake, a sin, a grievous sin even, if we have that mentality, then we think we deserve pain, suffering, disease. We think we deserve it, so we don't fight it because we deserve it. It's ours because we did this to cause it. Talk to me about this, Betty, because we are going to debunk these myths in the next couple weeks in this series, Be Healed.
Oh, amen.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Amen. Is that? Excuse me.
Uh-huh, me too.
That, and I'm not telling you this, that is a lie of the devil.
Amen, it is.
Is to tell you that you have to wallow in the slop that you're in. It's
woo.
Like, no, you do not. Because let me tell you something, my dear brother and sister, that there is a way out.
Amen.
The hand of God reaches down to you and pulls you up out of the mire and puts you on clean, solid ground.
You preach it, girl.
There is no way that you're going to sink in the sand that you're in. The one thing that the Satan wants you to think is that exactly what you just said. There is what you have done is just disgraceful. There is no way that God will ever forgive you. And it's like, hey, wait a minute, Satan. Let me remind you of something. And this is something that has been said for the last few weeks: is that when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Amen, girl.
Tell him that you are no longer...
That's right.
I need to calm down here.
No, you don't need to calm down there, Betty.
No, preach it, baby.
Is that you have
That's
to
right.
remember that you, when you give your life to Christ, that all of that junk that was in your past is in the past, and that's where it needs to stay. If someone brings it up to you, keep reminding them. Say, hey, I don't have to take that. I rebuke you. Get thee behind me. Jesus himself told Satan, get thee behind me, because it is written.
Amen.
And we have, Pastor and Nathan, we have that power.
We got the power, baby.
We got the power.
Yeah.
To put him right back
Woo!
In his place where he belongs.
Amen. Right. And when we walk around this earth with a mentality of that God's out to get me, mm-hmm. and that, I, you know, mm-hmm. he's punishing me for this or that, mm-hmm. and somebody said to me this week, what did I do to deserve all this disease in my body? Why did God put this on me? And I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. God does not put disease and sickness. When I fell last Monday morning, yeah, I ended up in the ER and whatever, but I'll tell you what, it was because I was walking around in the dark, barefoot, and slipped and fell. It was not because God woke me up and knocked me down to the floor and busted my elbow and my arm. God did not do this to my arm and my knee and my head. And my shoulder.
The list goes on. And
the list goes on.
On and on.
But the hip bone's connected to the... Anyway, God does not do that. And in this next hour, we are going to really talk about this more going into Matthew chapter 8. But Nathan, are you getting off at 4 or are you staying on?
Yes, I am.
You are. So give us a final word from you today, then, before we go to...
Well, I'm just kind of regretting that I'm not going to be here for the next hour, because I would love to talk about the fact that Jesus heals.
Amen. Amen. He's healed you. Look at
no
you.
What the devil says, yes, no matter what the world says, Jesus healed.
Nathan, look at you. You were healed miraculously in a service that we had a few months back. You're not the same person at all. Betty, when you see him, you will not believe this guy.
Well, I can't wait to see him.
No more Walker, nothing like that. He
is just God.
He's healed. And he sings with such authority and plays that keyboard with more authority than he ever has. It is an amazing, amazing thing to hear him minister now.
Give the glory to God.
Woo! Yes.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Wow. Okay. Nathan, we love you, and
love you.
We'll see you Wednesday night. Betty, stay on with me, if you will. Can you do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we're going to do a little housekeeping here, and then we'll get back to our discussion. And if you're in our Tampa Bay area, please come to one of our services Sunday morning at 10:30. Wednesday night Bible study is at 7. Everyone is welcome. It's very interactive on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning. It's a typical worship service with preaching, singing, music, and ministry to our needs. Wednesday night is very interactive, and you have a chance to participate. This new series we've just started, Be Healed, there's going to be a lot of things that we're going to talk about. We're going to get some interesting discussion going this Wednesday night. So if you are not a part of a local body and want to come check it out at Beacon of Hope, we'd love to have you at 7 o'clock Wednesday night. Our prayer ministry. Betty, tell them what happens when they write a prayer request to prayers@bohmglobal.com.
Well, I tell you, we call them God's team.
God squad?
Yeah, God squad goes to work.
Right.
Is that when the prayer request is received from either Carol, bless her heart, or bless his heart, Pastor Jim, takes it upon themselves to ask the Lord how they should pray. They put a prayer attached to that request.
Right.
And they send it to everyone on the prayer team. The prayer warriors then go to work, and they get down on their knees, and they ask God.
Man, I'm having some trouble with the phone system. Let me reboot that and get her back on the line.
Okay. Hang on, Betty. Can I go ahead and talk? I'll do that while you're getting Betty back on. We're having some issues with the phone system. So, yes, if you have a prayer request, use our prayer line. It is global. It is prayers@BOHM, which stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, global.com. So I'll give it to you again. I want everybody to have that in case you need some prayer support, which we all do from time to time. prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can be a part of the prayer team by just writing an email to that email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com. You can be a part of the prayer team. So just write an email and say, hey, put me on that prayer team, and we will do that. And we invite every one of our listeners to become actively involved in praying for the needs of others, because there's nothing better that you can do. This ministry is powerful to pray and intercede for the needs of people that we know and a lot of people that we don't know. We get requests all the time from people we have no clue who they are, and that's all right. But you can always reach out to the prayer ministry through prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you want to talk to me personally, it's very easy. pastor@bohmglobal.com. So that's my email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So that's what's going on. Wednesday nights at 7 Bible study, Sunday morning at 10:30. You can become a financial partner with us by going to our website, bohmglobal.com. That's www.bohmglobal.com. And you can go to the PayPal system and give a financial gift and offering. Station ID, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, a global ministry now in our 13th year of ministry and 7th year on the air. Betty Thomas, you are there, right?
Yes, I am here.
Okay. Cedric had to reset the phone system. We don't know what was going on there. So we just take authority over any more problems like that. And yes. Thank God that it's all going to be fine. And we just move forward. Betty, you are part of your family was a part of my church in Indiana that I started and pastored for 7 years at Cornerstone Ministries in Indiana many years ago. I began that church in January of 85. So we've known each other a real long time, haven't we?
Yep, we sure have.
Yep, and she says yep.
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 And I tell you what, it has been a, we had a slight separation there for a while. I probably didn't know where I was. I didn't know where you were.
And right.
So, and it shows you how the Lord works, is that I was sitting here working on a resume, and Marcia McAllister came across my, you know, came across my heart, and I thought, what? God, is that you? It's like, no, I just kept working. He said, I need you to try to find Marcia. I said,
this has been like 3 years ago now, right?
3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just typed in, because I knew that you had worked for a realtor
right
down there, and typed that in, and that came up, and it's like, oh, I wonder if it's the same one. And then it showed, it kind of took you to another area of ministry, of Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, and it's like, I bet that's her. And guess what? It was you.
It was me,
so
yeah.
It's amazing how the Lord works, even in situations such as ours, is that you hadn't talked to each other for maybe 15, 20 years, and then all of a sudden it's like you just pick up where you left off.
Exactly.
And God is good.
Oh.
God is good.
Well, you know, when that happened, that must have been, was that 11? I think it was, the spring of 11, because it was that very time that I was in Indiana visiting my grandkids, and ran into some of our other Cornerstone people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of reuniting during the spring of 11, like with 8 or 9 families. And it was really cool what God did there, because I had actually been out of the ministry for about 9 years just doing real estate. And then in 01, actually in the year 2000, God called me back into the ministry. I don't think he ever didn't call me. I think I was doing my own thing for a while, just working 80 hours a week and all of that. And when God laid it on my heart again to begin another ministry, it was really kind of with trepidation that I said yes. I mean, it was like I knew that it's not easy to be in the ministry. There's a lot of pain attached to it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of times that are hurtful and things that happen. But I am so grateful that I answered that call again in 2000 and began the ministry at Beacon in 2001. And God has just blessed us abundantly all these years. And now to have you and some of the other Cornerstone people as an active part of our ministry at Beacon is just an amazing, amazing thing of how God heals. You know what I mean?
Oh, and you know, the neat part about it is that we go through trials and tribulations, but through those trials and tribulations, we give God all the glory.
Amen.
Because he's taken us to a higher depth. He's taken us higher and deeper.
Yes, yes,
into him, and taking us higher and higher and higher. And it's just, it amazes me that people, and I think we all go through a dry spell in our life where we, you know, we want to sit back in a lawn chair and or sit back in our easy chair and watch television rather than serve God.
Yeah.
And it comes to that point in time where you still have that hunger.
Yeah.
Yes, it never leaves. It just, maybe you put it back on the back burner. God keeps trying to put it on the front burner.
Amen.
But it's us. We're the ones that drag our feet.
Yeah. Woo, good point. Let's listen to this Matthew West song, Betty, and then we're going to talk more here in Matthew 11. If you just joined us, get your Bible and join us with Matthew 11. Matthew West song, The Healing Has Begun.
You have carried the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. Oh, the healing has begun. Oh, the healing has begun.
Great song. I love that song, Betty. There's such great words in that song. There's a world full of people dying of broken hearts, holding on to their guilt. And this is just so true. This is what keeps me going, Betty, week after week, day after day in the ministry that isn't easy. It's not. It really isn't. It's very difficult. But what keeps me going is this knowledge down on the inside that there is a world full of people dying of broken hearts, and we got to do our little part to bring healing to these people. Are you there?
Well, yes, I'm here. There, it needs, there needs to go, we need to go a step further and say that people need the Lord.
Oh, absolutely they do.
And
yes.
It's that's what drives us to bring about as much victory as we can for God's kingdom.
Amen.
We have got to put God first in our life.
Amen.
Above all.
Amen.
Then comes the repentance part.
Right.
The forgiveness, the healing. And forgiveness can bring about healing in so many different areas. And I am one to confess that healing comes in stages.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't come overnight.
Right.
And that's where I'm standing in the gap.
Right.
For people who are, I have a friend who has just fought illness after illness after illness after illness, and standing in the gap for that person that she will receive her healing.
Amen.
And you just keep encourage you. We as Christians need to encourage people that are struggling,
right?
Because that's what Jesus would do if he were here.
Amen.
He would encourage them, and you know, of course, you know, with him, bless his heart, he just
bless his heart.
He just, I mean, he can touch people and be healed. But that's where we stand in the gap for each other,
right?
And ask the Lord, Lord, touch them and make them whole.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's where God's power overtakes anything that we're going through.
Absolutely.
And there is so much, there is a lot going on in this world, and it can get really, really scary.
Right.
And it's affecting my life here with my unborn grandson.
Right.
Is that we're praying for a miracle, as is Beacon of Hope and other
Absolutely
people
around
the country. Is that that testimony is going to be so powerful.
Right.
Is that he had this condition, he was born, he was raised up, and he's healed.
Amen.
And how many people is that little boy and my daughter going to minister to during that time of recovery? And
right.
It's amazing what already doors have been opened for her and for this little boy to be able to minister to.
Little Grayson. I mean,
It's already started. So when you give God the opportunity,
yes,
he's going to take you up on it.
Amen. And so sometimes these things that happen to us, like Grayson having this issue in herniated, no.
Congenital diaphragmatic hernia.
There you go. It seems so daunting and so awful. One of the lines that I wrote down in that song we just did by Matthew West was, mercy remembers your name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God is full of mercy. He's full of grace. He's full of love for each of us. And, you know, he's not sitting up there in heaven keeping score and passing out problems to us based on things that we have done that have not been pleasing to him. It's not like that, children of God. God loves us, and mercy remembers your name.
And, you know, I think in churches today, Pastor, is that, are you still there?
Yeah, oh yeah. I just had a hiccup. Yeah, that hiccup issue. Go on.
Okay, all right, well, I'll keep talking.
Go on.
is that in today's churches, pastors need to preach more about grace and mercy.
Amen. Amen.
And that, you know, just because you do this, you're not going down below. You're not going to hell. Is it because grace and mercy remembers
your name? Yes.
And
yes.
So that pulls us back into his grace.
Ooh.
And into his into the glory, because if it didn't, we'd all be doomed. If he hadn't died on the cross, we'd all be doomed.
Amen.
But mercy remembers your name.
Absolutely. And therefore, with confidence, we can reach out and say, Lord, I need you to touch my body or my mind or my emotions. I need to feel your healing touch in my life. And we can come boldly, it says in Hebrews, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy in time of need. And Betty, one of the reasons people don't receive their healing is because they feel so put down and feel guilty and feel shame and feel that they don't deserve to be healed. We did a song that is one of my favorites today at Beacon. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm trading them all, you know, for just the blessing of the Lord in my life, trading sickness and shame and pain and all of this. And we've got to do that instead of hanging on to that yucky stuff. We have got to trade that in for the mercy, for the grace, and we've got to walk in God's healing power. Oh, amen. We got to walk in it. We cannot just watch it from the sidelines working in other people's lives, but we've got to accept it for ourselves. Mercy remembers your name, honey.
Oh, amen. And there's another word that needs to go along with that. Your faith.
Amen.
has made you well.
Right.
And because that's
yes.
what that's what in all through Matthew and reading
yes.
is that when they came to him, they came broken.
Right.
Weeping. But, you know, they had something that a lot of us don't have, and that's faith, that they
right.
have enough faith to make you well. And just like, you know, just enough, the lady that touched the hem of his garment, she
Amen.
Had enough faith that
yes.
She knew because she knew if she touched the hem of his garment that she would be healed.
Amen.
That's the type of faith, people, that we have to have. Is to come up out of where you're in, and seek God's face, seek His kingdom first, and all of these things will be added unto you. And
Amen.
It takes the faith, the size of a mustard seed,
right?
Just small enough to get you to that point where you're tired of living what you're living in,
right?
It's just like with me and my health. I've had to come to a point in my life, Pastor, where I had to say, I'm giving it up. I'm not going to fight it anymore, God. I'm giving it all to you.
Right.
I have so many things that I think is wrong with me that I could list out three or four things. But it came to that point, Pastor, where I had to say, God, I'm tired of it. I don't
right.
need, I don't want this anymore. He didn't put it on me.
Right. He didn't. No.
But it's the things that we... The things that we just settle for. And
that's
I'm not
right.
settling anymore for second best.
Amen.
I'm settling for his best.
Woo! Ha! That is a perfect segue into Matthew 11, because Matthew 11 opens with, after Jesus talked to the 12 and said all these things and preaching, John the Baptist was locked up in prison. Now, this is John the Baptist who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, who was there when the Holy Spirit came down and descended upon Jesus in the Jordan River and said, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." John knew, and he was the first cousin of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but he sat in a prison like some of our listeners right now, Betty, who they're just bogged down by their circumstances, by their illness, or by their emotional mess, or their financial issues, or whatever they might be. John was sitting in prison and he began to doubt. And so he sent a messenger to Jesus and he said, are you the one we've been expecting, or are we still waiting? And Jesus said, go back and tell John what's going on. I love this. This is Matthew 11:4. And here's what Jesus said to tell John. The blind see, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. I love that little section of scripture, because Jesus was saying, here is how you know God is moving in your life. Look around you. Blind people are seeing. Now, that's not just physically, but it's happening spiritually, Betty, all the time in the ministry. People that have been blind to a certain scripture, they're opening it and they're going, oh, is that what that means? Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, people that have been so crippled emotionally that they can't walk are beginning to walk because
Amen.
They are choosing the path that God has
Amen.
For them. Talk to me about this. I love this. Don't you love this little scripture? And isn't it neat to know that John the Baptist got depressed and discouraged and doubtful also?
Oh, well, it goes to show you that they walked it before we ever even thought about it.
Right.
And when your eyes get open, what we talked about a few minutes ago is that, don't you see more clearly?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you see the truth?
Yeah.
When you're blinded, everything else is just like putting blinders on a horse in a parade, is they can't see to the left of them. They can't see to the right of them. The only way that they can see is straight ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so what you want to do is you want to get that horse accustomed to being able to see what's to the left of them and see what's to the right of them. Be- because that's where the enemy can come in and kind of blindside you and say, hey, remember when you had this, this, and this? And then you can look to the left or you can look to the right and say, no, because God is with me. If God be for me, who can
Woo!
Be against me?
Amen.
If you walk in darkness, it's just like what happened to you, Pastor, and I'm sorry that that happened to you, but that's what happens when people walk in darkness.
Amen.
And they're lame and they can't walk. People, open your eyes and see. Get up off of your backside and walk the walk and talk the talk, because
Whoa.
that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to seek Him and seek Him first. And John the Baptist was just like us. I mean, he was blessed because he got to baptize the Lord. He got to actually see some of the things that the Lord did.
Right.
And that's where we have to open our eyes and see what's going on around us.
Yes, we do.
The things that are happening.
Yes.
And know that they can be changed.
Yes.
And that circumstances can be reversed.
Amen.
Divine reversal, Pastor. Divine reversal.
Woo! Okay, we're going to talk more about this with Betty from Indiana in just a minute. Let's do this song, Heal Me by Aaron Jeffrey.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. Looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumbled through a verse that says you love me, as the voices echo, my thoughts drift away. And I close my eyes ashamed, I'm feeling nothing, and I pray, heal me, heal these eyes, heal this heart, heal my mind, breathe your breath of life, heal me, awake my soul. Give me back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on me, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do.
Love that song. heal me. Give me back the joy of when I first believed. Dear listener out there, there's some of you out there, I feel it in my spirit today, who need to be healed by the power of Almighty God. Not just physically, maybe you got an ache and a pain, but I'm talking about emotionally. There's some of you out there right now that are just hurting. Maybe churches have hurt you. Maybe people that should know better and who are call themselves Christians have really, really hurt you. But God would say to you today, be healed. Let go of that past hurt and just receive His mercy and His grace today. I love that song, Betty. It is just, you know, it just got down on the inside of me. Heal me, Lord. Heal me. Let that be our cry. Let it be our prayer today.
Most definitely. Who sings that?
That is Aaron Jeffrey.
Wow.
Is that wild or not? Jeffrey, J-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y.
Oh, I tell you, it says, you know, heal my mind.
Heal my mind.
Wake me from the sleep.
Yes.
And this is what the Lord, Pastor, I believe with all my heart that God sees you exactly where you are.
Amen, He does. Yes, and He accepts us where we are, too.
Oh, yes, and it doesn't take an onslaught of things that you have to do.
No.
Before you free yourself.
No, it doesn't.
Of the trouble and the circumstances that you're in. There was one prayer request that came across the airwaves through email this week about a person that was bound
right
by a past, an evil past
right
that can be turned around.
Amen.
And I fervently prayed for that person to be freed from that past, and that's what people can be freed of today.
Amen.
Is be freed from their past.
Amen.
Be freed that their mind be, excuse me, get ready to sneeze, is let the blood of Jesus cleanse you and wash over you today.
Oh.
And know that you can be renewed and be refreshed. The joy, return the joy of your salvation.
Amen.
And the enthusiasm that came with that, because a lot of people, Pastor, don't have any enthusiasm anymore.
No, it's gone. Life has beat them down.
Yeah, and it's time to forget about the past, get you plugged back into the power source, and let's get going for Christ.
I love it. I love it. And Jesus said to the disciples of John the Baptist, go tell John the Baptist, here's what's happening. You know, the blind are seeing, the lame walk. This is Matthew 11:4. Lepers are cleansed. There's a lot of people that feel like they've got leprosy, Betty, that they just, they're out there and they just feel like, why doesn't anybody love me? Why doesn't anybody want to stay with me? Why doesn't anybody care enough to have a relationship with me? Or why is this happening at work? Why are people putting me down? Or why is my spouse treating me this way? That they feel like they're a leper, you know, an outcast, you know, somebody that's got a disease all over their body that nobody wants anything to do with them. You know, and Jesus said the lepers are being cleansed. And if you are in that category today out there, dear one, know that the Lord God wants to heal that leprosy. He wants to cause you to no longer be an outcast, but to be included and accepted in the body of Christ and know that He loves you. The rest of that verse says the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Some people are walking around dead, Betty. They're walking around dead. They're dead inside. Their emotions have been hurt, so crushed, so hurt. They're walking around dead. And I love this last line. The wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side.
Always has been, always will be on our side.
Mm.
And if they feel like that they have their outcasts, come back in and let the Lord heal you.
Amen.
Give up just a little bit and see what can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of the rest of this will just fade away. It will be washed away because His mercy and His grace endures forever, Pastor.
It does.
His love is the same way. That
Amen.
He loves you whether you live in Tampa, Florida, or if you live in the Washington State, if you live in, you know, the Dominican Republic, if you live in Brazil, he loves you no matter
Amen.
What, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, is that he accepts you the way that you are, and your past will never be brought back to you again by him.
Amen.
Never, never.
It is time to learn that God's on our side. Psalm 103, David said, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. This is verse 10. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love toward us. And he doesn't remember the sin. When you say, God, forgive me of this. You know, I was wrong. I did this, I did that, I lied, I cheated, whatever the case may be. And you say, God, forgive me for that. He goes, okay, you are forgiven, and he does not remember it. It says in Psalm 103, people, you need to hang out in Psalm 103. It'll bless you so much, because it says that he does not remember the sin. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It's the devil that continues to harass you and condemn you. Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now, I'll get it in a minute, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're being condemned over something that you've asked God to forgive you for, that's the devil. It's just absolutely pounding on you.
Well, and you'll notice that over the last few weeks that Mr. Satan has done everything he can to prevent the spreading of the gospel of Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
he has. There's been a lot of sickness in the body of Christ. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
Oh,
yeah.
just a bunch of, I mean, and this is what I call it, junk.
It is.
J-U-N-K. And we have the choice to live in it, or let it go.
Amen.
And I know that I heard a pastor several weeks ago say, you have got to let it go.
You got to.
If it's not of God, let it go. Because God leads us. God will lead you where he wants you to go. But if you're still holding on to things that you don't need to be holding on, let it go. Give it to God and let go. Walk the path that he wants you to walk, and life will become much easier.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, Betty, I think a lot of people, you just brought that up, holding on to things. They hold on to resentments. They hold on to bitterness. They hold on to past hurts. And we've been hearing in these songs today, heal me, God. I mean, it's a cry from these musicians that are singing, and they're saying, Lord, I want you to heal me. You know, you're the healer. You can do this. And I think, Betty, as we draw closer to the time of the return of Jesus, that he is really speaking to hearts to let go of the past, to start your new day in God, to start your new adventure with God, your great adventure, to let go of the past, of relationships that didn't work out, of family members that have hurt you and said awful things to you, of work situations that have not worked out, of losing things in our lives, homes and cars and whatever, and finances, etc., or just a spouse, maybe a divorce has happened to you. God is saying right now that he is on our side. He said here, the wretched of the earth learn that God is on their side. Well, the wretched of the earth are the hurt ones. They're the ones that are walking around in just despair and dismay and don't know what to do about what they feel, and they're still angry and they're still resentful and they're hurt and they're bitter. And God is saying today, ask me to heal you and watch what I will do. That is what God is saying, Betty.
Well, his word is true. I mean, you can't make it any more plain than what you just said. You know, he wants to heal you.
Amen.
No matter what it is, no matter what the circumstances of what I feel or see.
Right. I love that.
And that you have to understand that you've got to give it to him.
Uh-huh.
So he can do it.
So he can do it.
He's not going to go in and take it from you. But when you let it go, don't let it come back.
Mm-hmm.
Leave it where it's supposed to be, a at the foot of the cross. Let it stay there. God will bury it. Don't pick it up when you leave, because I've done that myself. It's like, leave it and then pick it back up with you.
Oh, yeah.
When you go back, it's like, that's where you have to leave it. That's where total surrender comes. That's where we almost have to be broken to the point of saying, okay, God, I can't handle this anymore. If you get to that point, God is right there.
Amen. Yes.
He is. I mean, he is as close as the mention of his name.
Right.
And you don't have to live the way that you're living now.
You said the word surrender, Betty, and I think this is where we're at. A lot of people hang on to their bitterness, their hurt, and their resentments, and it's like they have this movie that goes on in their minds of what so-and-so did to them, and how unfair it was, and how unjust, etc. And because that movie plays at a lot of times in their life, maybe they wake up in the middle of the night and that movie's playing in their head, or maybe that person is still in their life that has hurt them so much. So when they hurt them again, it's like the movie plays again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And you know what is sad is that they get into, and I hate this word, a pity party.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they hurt me, so I'm going to hurt them. I mean, it's not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, people. Is we have got to say, if total forgiveness comes with total surrender.
It does come with surrender.
And you have to be truthful. You have to be, it's obvious. Be Mr. and Mrs. Obvious.
Right.
Let it go. Give it to God. If someone has wronged you, let it go. Don't repay them for what they did to you, because that's not what the Lord wants.
Amen.
And that's where we get stuck. We get stuck in this rut, and it's just like you just let things just run and run and run and run over and over and over again. Stop it.
Right.
Stop it now, because it's going to cause you, it's almost like a, when you cut yourself and you never do anything about it, and it just gets nastier and nastier and nastier and nastier until the point is that when it gets to the point of almost no return, that's when, can you help me with this?
Right.
Don't let it get to that point.
Well, Monday when I got hurt so bad, and I'm you know, looking at the blood's running off my arm and my elbow, and I'm looking in the mirror and I'm thinking, well, I'll just put a big Band-Aid over it, you know, and I just kept soaking through the Band-Aids, and then the blood's running down my arm. And I realized that unless I get some help other than me, I'm going to just bleed and bleed and bleed. You know what I'm saying? And it just, I mean, I couldn't, and I finally had to call my sister and say, let's go to the ER. This is not going to stop on its own. And really, the Holy Spirit is that doctor in the ER. Okay. And he is ready. And this doctor was wonderful. And she was just like, whoa, look at this, you know, and stapled my arm together again. But it needed to have that healing touch. And it wasn't going to just do it on our own. And I think so often, Betty, we try our best to do it on our own, and or we just bury it. We stuff it. And we think, if I don't think about that hurt, and if I don't dwell on what so-and-so said to me or did to me, then it'll just go away. It doesn't do that, because the devil will bring it back around. I would have been in a bad, bad mess if I didn't go get attention at Monday on the ER. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, most definitely. And you would have, I mean, you could have bled to death.
Could have bled to death eventually, yeah, eventually.
If you hadn't have done anything to it,
right,
it never would have healed.
Right. Yeah, and it's all stapled up now. Praise God. I mean,
you're all stapled, and they'll take them out with a staple remover, and you're fixed good as new. But you know what? You've got to watch, because if you continue to abuse that elbow, it's going to open back up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even get these staples out for another week.
And that's where what happens.
Yes.
We think,
yes,
okay, God, we've done this.
Right.
But then you know what we do? We go right back to it.
I know. Yes, we do.
We can't do that. We have got to learn to trust God and say, okay, you brought me, if God's brought you this far, he ain't going to leave you.
Amen.
And he's going to bring you out of this, whatever you're in, but you have to trust wholly and solely in him.
But you got a desire to be healed, I think, Betty, because I think too many people, you mentioned pity party, and you know, I think that's where a lot of people are. They feel sorry for themselves that something's happened, and they don't seem to be able to even desire to be healed because they nurse the wound themselves, and they nurse it with grudges, bitterness. Boy, this teaching today, Jesus is saying, hey, God's on your side. The blind need to start seeing, and the lame need to start walking, and the lepers need to be cleansed, and we need to let go of these things that are dragging us down. But we got to desire that healing, Betty. We got to desire it. We got to let go of these resentments and bitterness.
And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, Pastor.
No, it doesn't.
Is that it just takes just a few minutes to say, okay, shut out the television.
Right.
Shut out the radio. If you have to get in your car and drive to a secluded place, shut the door and find time to spend with God.
Amen.
Give what you have that's bothering you, whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, drugs, pornography, demonic influences. Is you have got to give it up. You've got to let it go. But getting
Amen.
Into that quiet place and with the Word of God and with the Lord, He will visit you wherever you are.
Ooh, amen. And so when we make a quality decision, heal me, Lord, and you know, the last two songs, that's what the title has been. This, the last one we just listened to and the one coming up right now, both of them are titled Heal Me. So to me, that is a decision. That is a choice we make. I want healing or I don't want healing. I could have sat there in the ER the other day on that gurney and said, you know what? I don't care if my arm's bleeding like this. I don't want it. I like it like this. Okay? I don't care that I'm in this much pain. That's okay. Don't x-ray me. I'm okay. I don't want... No. That's our choice. And that's an interesting metaphor that it just happened to me this week. But seriously, Betty, it comes down to decision, time, surrender. God, I choose to let go of all these things that are dragging me down and all these memories and all these events that have happened to me. And I choose to ask you to heal me.
Well, I did that. Four times. I mean, it took four times on a operating table with a cardiovascular surgeon saying, okay, let's do this. Let's get this over with. Four times, Pastor, it took until I realized that I've got to take better care of myself. I have to eat better. I've got to lose weight. And it was my choice what I did.
Amen.
Until it got to the fourth time.
Right.
God set me down and said, what are you doing to yourself?
Right.
I said, I'm not eating right. I'm not, you know, I don't feel good. He says, I have told you time after time after time, I am here for you. All you have to do is ask me.
Whew.
All you have to do is ask me. All I had to do, Pastor, was just ask him.
Right. And that's... Exactly.
Heal me and make my heart brand new. Guess what he did? He did.
Amen.
Stress test. Blood work. You know, I may have four stents, but my heart is healed.
Your heart is healed. Amen.
Because I asked him to. That's all it took was just for me. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I asked him to. And he did. He did what I asked him to do.
Amen. Make this your prayer. Heal me, Lord. Listen to this song by Terry McCallum.
From you, my Lord. we gather here, there's many, many people with many, many different kinds of needs. We get testimonies constantly of miracles that take place in the worship atmosphere. As His presence just sets upon us, He comes with healing in His wings. And right where you're at today, right where you're standing or sitting, if you need a touch from Him, I believe there is a healing anointing that He will release upon you even right now. So as we just sing this song a couple of times, would you just let faith arise within your soul and your spirit, man? Ask God to provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me. Oh,
let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this powerful moving of your Holy Spirit in our lives today. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts across the airwaves and later on our website, that they will know that you are the healer, that they will acknowledge their need for your healing touch, that there will be surrender that occurs in many, many lives as a result of this show today. Lord, we surrender our old hurts, our baggage, our pain, our suffering, the things that we have held on to, the resentments, the bitterness. We surrender them to you, the things that people have done to hurt us that we have carried around as grudges. Lord, we let them go. We lay them right now at your feet. And Lord, we say, heal me. Make that your prayer right now, dear listener. Heal me. I let go of the pain of the past. I choose to be one of those that was blind, but now I see. That was deaf, but now I hear. That maybe was crippled up by the events of my past, but now I can walk strong and tall in the knowledge of God's great love for me. Let that be your prayer today. Lord, I ask that you do your healing work in our listeners' lives. That this be not just a momentary, oh, that sounded good, but that this be a life-changing moment. A stake in the ground event where we put a stake in the ground and we say, from this moment on, I am going to choose healing in my body, in my emotions, in every area of my life, in my mind, I choose healing instead of the pain of the past. Lord, let this be a moment, a decision moment in the lives of our listeners, that they turn from the pain of the past and turn to your resurrection life in their bodies and in their minds and their emotions. Let this be that moment of change, and we pray it over them each one in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Dear Betty, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I guess that after that prayer, just that our listeners choose life.
Amen.
Because God wants to make them whole.
And
what
Amen.
He's asking you to do is believe what his word says more than you believe what you think or how you feel.
That's it.
Just keep speaking his word
yes.
over your circumstances. And let him complete the good work that he's begun in you.
Amen. Amen. Because he has. That's Philippians 1:6 that you just quoted. He who began a good work in us will continue it, complete it, until the day of Christ Jesus. So what good work he began in us, he's working on us.
Amen.
You know, he's still working on us. He's still changing us and causing us to desire to be like him. And so when that desire comes that you say, Lord, I don't want to live in the pain of the past anymore. I want to go forward into the future. I want a new place in you, God. I want a deeper relationship with you. I want new relationships with people that are going to build me up and lift me up.
Amen.
I want to let go of the negativity of the past. I want to let go of the pain and the suffering. And I want to move forward into this new day.
Amen.
That's my prayer.
Mine too.
Betty, you and I have been close friends for a long time. Yeah, there were a few years there where we weren't in contact. But, you know, when it's so like God to heal us and bring us back together in this unity, in this bond of friendship and in ministry together. How like God. If he's done that for you and I, he will do it for others.
Amen.
You know, that need to realize that God is a God of restoration and healing. You
Amen.
Know, any pain of the past, misunderstandings with people, or hurt that's happened, God can heal that. Betty, speak a last few minutes here before I wrap up. You got about a minute and a half.
Minute and a half. I don't think I can do anything in a minute and a half, Pastor.
Well, try, girl, try.
Okay. Well, one of the things that God has spoken to me during this show is that relationships, friendships that need to be rekindled.
Amen.
Let God do his work in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some relationships out there that should never have ended.
Right.
There are relationships out there that God had a purpose for.
Right.
But that you chose to walk away from.
Right.
And I ask and pray in Jesus' name that God will give you the strength to restore that relationship with whom you've hurt. And I'm sure that you are hurt too. But let God do a mighty work in you.
Amen.
And walk in victory. And let God be your guiding light in all things.
Amen.
Through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Well said, my good friend. Ooh, all right.
No, we need another hour so we can continue.
I know. It's just been 2 hours, and it just flies by.
But thank God for his mercy and his grace.
And
hey, I love you. I love you, Pastor.
Love you too, Bet. You know, so many people don't realize the opportunity you have by going to our website, bohmglobal.com, www.bohmglobal.com, and you can hear over 280, 290 shows now that we've done. We've actually done like 350, 7 years worth. Most of them are there on our website. We have a huge server. So go and avail yourself of these teachings and this great music. And also, if you have a prayer request, write it to prayers@bohmglobal.com. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services in our new location. And that is 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater, basically at the corner of Drew and 19. Go to our website for exact directions. We're so glad you've joined us today. This has been Pastor Marcia and my good friend Betty and my wonderful Minister of Music at Beacon of Hope, Nathan Burton, bringing you the Word of God today with our great engineer, Cedric. So anyway, have a great week, and we hope you will join us live next week, 3 o'clock, Sundays, Tampa time, 3 o'clock, every single Sunday, or on our website. God bless you. Have a great week, and guess what? It's not far to Jesus, so run to Him today, and He is there with open arms for you.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.